Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
So according to The Athletic today, and Bruce Feldman, longtime college football insider, you've had him on the show plenty of times before, the Jim Harbaugh to the NFL story has reared its head again.
Did you win the pool this year or did I?
No, you won because I said right after they lost the game is when he's going to say, I'm ready for the NFL, guys. I'm coming back.
So since the calendar flipped, calendar flipped a couple of days. So I guess I get the victory. Yeah. Good God, man. It's the same thing every damn year.
Bruce Feldman saying that he is hearing rumblings from the NFL side and at Michigan that Harbaugh could be tempted to leave the Wolverines to return to the NFL. One source saying this week, quote, I think it's real. So let's just say this. Look, obviously, this is when you're going to go if you're Harbaugh because you've gotten Michigan to the high point, right? You finally won the Big Ten. You finally got to the playoff. Yes, you lost. You got worked by a better SEC team that, wow, I'm sure Jim Harbaugh didn't see that coming and thought, well, this is my team. I got a great offensive line. I got the running backs need. We have the playmakers. I have two first-round picks on defense that are going to the top 10, and they were never close in that game. So, yeah, I get that maybe he's felt, okay, I've got Michigan back, and now I can leave on an upswing because now I don't have to worry about walking away and skulking out. People say, well, he was a failure. Now his reputation, which he cares deeply about, is that, boy, hey, the guy finally got there. He beat Ohio State. He won, right?
He's 61-24 in his career, but he's a failure.
Yeah, well, that would be because you got to beat Ohio State and Michigan State, buddy. You can't keep losing those games.
No, I understand.
Keep losing there, buddy.
Just, it's all about perspective and knowing who you are. I talk about that all the time. When you get up in the mirror, you got to wake up and look in, and you got to know who you are and be real. I can look there and I can see peak Schwarzenegger all I want. That ain't reality, okay?
No, that's the
goal. That ain't reality. Likewise, Michigan, thinking that you're the big man on top of the mountain, right, to go into the Conan the Barbarian, right? When he wants the food, it is there. That ain't you. That ain't been you. And so when you finally, he's winning 9-10 games a year, that's where you should be expecting. Yeah, you want more consistency against those other teams, but good God, man.
Look,
recognize what you are.
Right, but he's never going to win enough for Michigan fans who think they should be in the playoff every year. That's never been who Michigan was, but they have unrealistic expectations. So now that he's finally got, okay, it's not going to get any better than this. It's the gambler who knows, you know what, if I keep gambling, I'm just going to lose all this money. It's time to walk away from the table. It's a difficult thing to do, and he wasn't going to do it while Michigan was not beating Michigan State and Ohio State, and he wasn't winning the Big Ten, but now he's done. Okay, I don't know that I could do it again. All right, let me just go now. If he does go, okay, and already there's been a link. Bruce Feldman talks about how maybe the Raiders head coaching job would be where he winds up going because he's friends with Mark Davis, and you know he likes Derek Carr.
And the McCaskies love him in Chicago.
Dude,
so that's
the thing. That's the thing is that. Do you really think you're going to go and change everything about the Raiders? I mean, really? I mean, you're going to go and change that? He was a great head coach in the NFL, and he got into a big power struggle with the front office in San Francisco, and he wound up leaving. And I don't know how
fighting with York and fighting with Balke, and now we look at Balke down in Jacksonville. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
No, we'll have more on that story coming up.
That's a whole other thing.
But it
ties to this story here. Of remember that battle, and a lot of it was him fighting with ownership. But certainly the battles that we'd heard about and the freeze outs and whatever. It's like, well, maybe you're a little more sympathetic to the Harbaugh side than you might have been.
Yeah, but you gotta go to a place that is more ready to win than the Raiders. All right, if you're Harbaugh, you're not going to get that blank check like you did the first time around. You have to go to a team, and it fits because – the reason the Raiders make sense is because Harbaugh's got to go to a team with a hands-off owner slash GM that lets him do his thing and be the face of the organization, right? And that worked because that's what John Gruden was until, you know, he got fired because he kind of had to because his emails came out. You know, Mike Mayock certainly gave John Gruden and backed away, understood that he was the big personality for the team. So, yeah, it fits for that because you're not going to go, like, he's not going to go coach the Cowboys and fight with Jerry Jones every 5 minutes because Harbaugh will want out. He's got to go to a team where he's going to be allowed to do his thing, right? And if you're the Raiders, you really think you're turning around the Raiders, the three best jobs for him, you said one of them, and it's Chicago. Chicago is the fastball down the middle, right? Still in the Midwest, on a team where he has a quarterback that he's familiar with because he coached against him just a couple of years ago. You know, Chicago is the fastball down the middle. The Giants are another fastball down the middle. He's got to go to a big market where he can be the guy. And the Giants, they would sweep out Dave Gettleman, and he would come in and he would have the power. He would be the face of the organization, kind of like Bill Parcells was. The Giants are a fastball down the middle. And the other great fit is in the same division as the Raiders, and it's in Denver. Because Denver's got a good offense. They got to find a quarterback, and Harbaugh can take his time finding his guy because they clearly need to go in a different direction. But that team is also loaded up and ready to go. You have pretty good defense. You have some playmakers on offense. Yes, you're in the division with the ascending quarterbacks of Herbert and Mahomes, who's the best quarterback in the league. So that's a tough fit. But where you're going high profile-wise, being able to come in and do your own thing, those are your three best jobs. Chicago and the Giants are at the top of the list. And then just under that, I'll go Denver, and then I'll put the Raiders after that because really you think you're the guy that's going to change the Raiders. No, I'm the guy that's going to make the Raiders. I'm the guy for the Raiders. No, people have tried, and they have. John Gruden's been coaching for 12 years, and nobody cared if he won or lost because he couldn't win or lose, and he finally got fired. It's, oh boy, the Raiders really can't win. So I'll put them at the bottom, but Chicago, New York at the top, then Denver, and then the Raiders.
I tell you this, with the Bears, I still contend if Andy Dalton healthy and they just stayed with him, that they could have been on the back end of this playoff mess, which is really what they were built to do coming in. And somehow they, you know, got force-fed, and we saw the turnover machine and problems and limitations that were Fields. Just like all the other rookies struggled and got no help there, deficient in terms of player personnel, which is the whole bigger issue. Look, the Raiders are still playing, you know, real football on Sunday. I don't know if you caught that, Smith. Your team and mine are eliminated, but, you know, it's a loser-leaves-town match. Well, unless Jacksonville beats Indianapolis, then all hell breaks loose, and I think we all start praying. But the fact of the matter is, you got a roster that didn't quit. They had plenty of opportunity, plenty of adversity. I think the best fit based on how he wants to style things would be Denver, just based on all of those guys being under contract. And I'm curious to see what happens with Drew Lock. You know, whether they move on from him and push him somewhere else. He acquitted himself pretty nicely. He looked really good in that game against the Chargers. But, you know, you've got Williams. You've got Melvin Gordon if he comes back. You know, and you've got the receivers all locked in. So perhaps you can come in and play the style of ball they did while he was in San Francisco right away. The other is, you know, my brother and I were talking about this, and it's being floated about in Northwestern world of, you know, trying to figure out how to do the GoFund yourself to get yourself a quarterback like a Caleb Williams. Michigan's got the largest alumni base in the world. NIL should be their best friend. So go figure out how to get him his quarterback of, you know, the transcendent guy, and then come back and do it again.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's a couple of quarterbacks that have the wrong narratives around them. And I realize I'm fighting against the tide. I'm trying to shovel sand into the ocean with this. But there are two quarterbacks that just have the wrong narratives around them because of the desire that people, whether it's fans or the media, have to see these people fail or succeed. Right. And I'm going to tell them to you. You're going to say, yes, Jason, you're absolutely right. And the first one is Matthew Stafford. Right. Oh, another pick six. Look at what he did. Oh, look at Matthew Stafford nearly costing the game on Sunday, cost him a chance to win the NFC West. He's thrown 38 touchdowns, second most in the league, all right? He's fifth in quarterback rating. He brought them back at the end and threw the game-winning touchdown. Rams have won.
To a guy who shouldn't have been on the field.
Yes, no, because you can't punch guys and stay in the field unless you're Odell Beckham. But the Rams have won five in a row, and he's done it. Yes, he had a bad three-game run in the middle of the season. And because we've seen Matthew Stafford play for the Lions for so long, I don't know where suddenly it went from, boy, it's a great story that Matthew Stafford gets out of purgatory and gets to L.A. and now he's with a great team. Somewhere along the way it was, no, I don't like Matthew Stafford anymore and I hope the guy fails. There's this desire that fans have to see it. Just because they want bloodlust, want him to turn back into the quarterback he was where he could move the team up and down the field, but I'll throw a bad pick and lose the game. I don't understand why. All right, but it doesn't matter because the narrative is a false narrative around Matthew Stafford. He should be up the top for MVP voting, but he's not going to be just because he's not Brady, he's not Aaron Rodgers, and look, Rodgers and Brady have clearly had a better last few weeks, so I'm okay with that. But still, again, 38 touchdowns, second most in the league, all right, top five quarterback rating, which, okay, quarterback rating isn't always the end-all be-all, but it shows you where a guy ranks as far as how well he's playing versus some of the other quarterbacks. So this is the narrative around Matthew Stafford. It should be, look how well he's playing. He's finally got a team around him, and look at what they're piling up wins. They can win the division. He's going to throw 40 touchdowns this year. Any other quarterback, and the storyline would be, look at him overcoming the mistakes he's made. What a veteran quarterback does. What a guy can fix his own mistakes when he can overcome throwing a pick six and lead his team to victory. But no, instead it's, see, in the playoffs that's going to happen. He's going to throw a pick six. Matthew Stafford can't win, and it's the wrong narrative around him that it's, oh, I'm just waiting to turn back into somebody bad, and he's overrated. He's going to be bad anyway. It's like you're ignoring everything that's been done on the field this year. That's the wrong narrative for Matthew Stafford.
No, well, I mean, I think what you have is a lot of folks who've tried to cling to the Detroit years, certainly, and so whenever there's an opportunity to carve out that 15 minutes that they'd done prior, they do. And then they'll extend it. I mean, obviously, you know, I the elephant's in the room. Anybody that listens to the network has heard promos or heard it live. You know, Rob Parker and his Stat Padford, you know, nickname that he's got for him. And the numbers are there. And to your point, yeah, he brought them back. But you've got to be fair, right? We criticize every other quarterback by raising our hand going, you know, he caused them a lot of problems early. And you look at quarters 1-3, like with Matthew Stafford, right? This is tweeted out NFL on Fox, you know, just to kind of show the dichotomy of his year, right? It's a Jekyll Hyde. Quarters 1-3, 27 passing touchdowns, 15 picks. All right. Acceptable-ish ratio. Fourth quarter, 11 passing touchdowns, 0 picks. So, you know, cleans up the mess, and then they finish strong. Does it mean you still hold back? You want to see him see it through, right? Because we've seen him put up big numbers before. We've seen him with the Lions on occasion where there had been a few winning seasons, right? They hit the playoffs a couple of times. So now it's all right, what do you do when the money's on the line? And I think people keep waiting for the clock to strike midnight and Cooper Kupp to become a pumpkin. Ergo, you know, with no hands, Matthew Stafford's just going to throw it off him, and it's not going to work. I had to keep the analogy going. But, you know, when we go through it, you know, I'm with you. I'm intrigued to see with McVay, with them back to running the football, because you got to win early downs, right? You've got to establish early downs however you're doing it. And Sony Michel's been fantastic. We thought it would be Daryl Henderson. Well, he got hurt, wasn't doing it consistently. And McVay, in those weeks ahead of their bye week, they got away from their identity. And then going back to it, and yeah, there have been some near misses. And a Baltimore team that coming into the game, you would have said they've got no chance in hell, right? You're just going to blow them out of the water, in theory. Not that the point spread was huge, but still just from they've got things to play for. The Ravens are playing out of string, all the injuries, etc. And they got everything they could handle and then some with a couple of really bad, bad throws. Although his receivers don't really like to fight for balls with defensive backs. You notice that? They really, yeah. they just kind of stand there and watch the ball drift into yeah. the waiting arms of a safety or cornerback. So that's problematic to me.
Yeah,
but
a little bit.
That's a whole other thing. But throwing into triple coverage here and there is also, you know, make a smarter decision. So waiting to see how that plays out in the playoffs. And, you know, I'm not as bullish on them overall as you, but I'm certainly not in the, all right, this guy's been trash category. The last couple of weeks have been rough to watch at times. But in the end, you won ball games. And he made throws to help finish the job. When all the other warts are there and leave you maybe nervous against a better opponent, right? Because, well, Minnesota is, we've watched them implode repeatedly. Baltimore with their injury, Seattle. I mean, come on, Seattle. And then, you know, beating Jacksonville 37-7. I mean, me, you, Frostburg, and eight of our closest buddies could probably give the clown out a little
clown
bit
out.
A bit of an effort. So, you know, you go through it. But, yeah, here they are. They're still standing. And, you know, there was a point even on Sunday going, well, they could still be the number one seed. That means, all right, a lot of things have gone right.
So if there's one quarterback that's got the wrong narrative around him, because you can't just, I don't like Matt, just because. The other guy that's got the wrong narrative around him is Mac Jones. Because suddenly Mac Jones is great again, right? Suddenly he's great again. He was awful for the last 3 weeks. Nobody says anything like, "Ooh, man, I'm not going to say I don't want people to bring up the fact I said Mac Jones was great 3 weeks ago." They beat the Jaguars.
I said it all along. Mac Jones is a superstar.
They beat the Jaguars. The Jaguars are terrible, and now suddenly Mac Jones is great again.
Hey, 50 burger.
Oh, screw that, man. Anybody not the Jets can put 50 on the Jaguars, okay? But suddenly Mac Jones, who has another pedestrian game, is somehow great again. No, he's not. Max Jones has been just a
Did
guy.
Did you just call him
okay?
Max?
I said Mac
you
Jones
just,
has
you just
been
changed his name.
Just a guy.
He's Max Power.
Mac Jones is Spider-Man. Mac Jones has been just a guy. He's been just a guy for a while. He is a good game manager. He's going to finish the season with less than 4,000 yards passing and around 21 touchdowns and 12 picks.
Well, to his be fair, he only had 19 yards in that win.
Right, Rich. When they that don't
kinda,
trust you
that's
going to
kind of kill your average,
matter?
Buddy. That's going to kill
matter.
Your average. Come on now.
If he was that big a weapon, they would have called him to throw the football
they
more
didn't
than two
need
times
to.
In the game. They would have done that. Look,
they didn't need to.
If he
they
was
would
on,
say, Buffalo, you stiffs, we're going to run it again, you fools.
If he was on the Jets, would he be this good? Would they be saying, oh, my God, the Jets got a great – no, they'd be saying, the guy's having an okay year. Justin Herbert, you go back, what should have been said about him last year, not even close to what's being said about Mac Jones, just because fans and the media so want him to be Tom Brady. And he's having an okay season. He is a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. Now, is that good? Yeah, that's good, because this year the other quarterbacks who are taken higher all stink, right? Zach Wilson just finally showing that he may have a tiny bit of potential.
I like him.
And Trevor Lawrence.
I'm picking up my Zach Wilson rookie cards that people have bailed on.
And Trevor Lawrence has been terrible, right?
Yes,
and Justin Fields has been uneven. So just because he's been the best of the guy, he's an okay game manager. That's who he is. He's not throwing four. When did we suddenly change what a great quarterback season is just because we want Mac Jones to be great? Oh, we want him the next Tom Brady, and we think he could be. And everybody's saying, no, he's just a guy. He enjoys all the benefits of people wanting him to be better than he is. But I'm telling you, he's just a guy. And notice how nobody said anything for the last 3 weeks when Mac Jones stunk and cost them games. But now, oh, we beat the Jaguars by 50. Look at the game that Mac Jones had. Oh, my God. No. Wrong narrative around Mac Jones. Wrong narrative.
Well, my favorite were the folks going, I can't wait in 5 years when they tell me that Mac Jones and Bill Belichick ate each other when they were jumping up and down and all giddy on the sidelines. It's all good. Look, he's got over 3,500 yards. He's 10-6, 21-12 from a rookie quarterback. I'll take it. Right? Is it world-beating? No, but that's not what he's asked
yeah,
to do.
He's okay.
But if he needed to be the other guy, might he be able to? I don't know. That's not the system he's in. They're not calling for him to wing it around. You know, like the Browns did with Baker Mayfield, Baker Mayfield. When you have Nick Chubb and they still want you to throw it 40 times, showed me he can't do it.
I can't say, boy, he could be. He's the best. Why? Because he may be able to throw the football. No, I got to see him do it. I can't. can't just say,
I'm going to say
made,
what I've seen
great.
Right now at 68% completion
he's
rate.
Okay.
10-6
okay.
record. I'm going to spike on you and say this guy's a star.
He is okay.
And he's going to vex you in that division for the rest of your natural life.
This is who he is. He's an elite game manager. He's not Tom Brady. I'm fine with that trade. I am absolutely fine with that. I'll trade Brady for an elite game manager any day of the week.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've talked a lot this hour and told you there's a real clown show coming to the NFL on Sunday. And no, it's not. Oh, the Jets playing a scrimmage. Jacksonville Jaguars fans are planning what is called a clown out, which, oh my God, what a great name that is, to catch the attention of owner Shad Khan, who, look, in the aftermath of the Urban Meyer debacle, decided to keep Trent Baalke as GM for another year. Jaguars fans have had it. So now there's a large Jacksonville part of the fan base that's going to go to the game on Sunday dressed as clowns.
Can't wait to see the variety. How many Pennywise? How many people are just recycling their Halloween costumes?
Well, first of all, do you really think CBS is going to show that? You're going to see the clown? Of course not. They're going
to
show the clowns.
Have to.
No, you don't. What? Why? You got to show what's on the field, right?
My man, you got to show what the story is, and it's a better story in the stands.
There's no way.
Hey, look, for years we've seen people with paper bags over their heads in protests, and we've seen them celebrated time and time again. Pick your city, including Jacksonville. So
there is no way.
Celebrate the clowns.
No, there. Send them in, dude.
They're already here.
Did you write DJ and sent the Laffy Daffy clowns, the soulful and doleful? Okay, so I think you have to see it, but I think if this turns out great, this will be the first. This will become like the wave. Like when the wave came out, everybody did it, right? When the whiteouts came out, we were in the white shirts, everybody did whiteouts. If the clown show goes great, oh, dude, you're going to see that in so many places. When fans were upset, they're all going to come dressed like clowns. It's going to be clowns at the game all the time. Clowns. If you have a fear of clowns, you don't want to watch football because, boy, you're going to say, but if this happens and this takes off, it's just going to be, they'll be known as the birth of the clown out. Clown outs will be a thing. It'll be a thing now. Hey, I got to be there for the clown out. I got to dress up. How do I want to dress? We're all going to walk in like it's the beginning of Dark Knight and we're robbing the bank and I'm worried about who's going to shoot me in the back. Is Heath Ledger going to do it to me? It's going to, oh my God, the clown out will be a huge deal, but it's got to hit. And do you really think the network's going to show it? I highly doubt you're going to see that.
I got the bus driver. What bus driver? Anyway, so what's interesting here, right? What if they do the unthinkable? Forget about just if it has critical mass and gets a lot of attention and buzz. What if they actually go out and do the unthinkable and win this game? Think about that, because then all of a sudden you have the chaos of the Chargers and Raiders could legitimately just kneel down on the ball for 60 minutes and both make the playoffs, which would be kind of funny. All right, next. All right, go ahead. He finished with minus 48 yards rushing. What happened? Well, geez. But the
Colts are a 16-point favorite there, buddy. That's going to be a tough order.
Hey, you know what? Trevor Lawrence had his, second passing touchdown since week 7.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
Ogunbowale took that screen pass and ran like hell. So that was good.
Yak for Trevor Lawrence. Yak.
Hey, 32 yards to pay dirt and away we go. So when we look at it, obviously it could become a trend. I like fans mobilizing. right? There have been a lot of marches around stadiums. Our own Ben Maller, I know, was there with the Clipper faithful at one point. He and his buddy Clipper Darrell, former guest on the show. And we've seen it in other cities. Baltimore, I know plenty of folks that have participated in many events to try to get rid of Angelos to no avail. Mm-hmm. Many people going against Dan Snyder. And hell, right now people are walking in with welding outfits and masks and equipment to try to help shore up the stadium. Okay, Jalen Hurts had to write a letter, but that's a whole other thing. But I like the clown out. I think it's a bold move.
Oh, no, dude, it, as long as it gets covered, and this is why I say this now, to try to put pressure on CBS.
Well, we will.
You have to cover the clown show. You can't not cover a clown show. There's clowns at a game. You got to see this, man. You got to see it. It could be the birth of something brand new, man. I'm telling you, this could be really something.
How many people do you think? Can you get a couple thousand to show up?
Oh.
Is someone going to be out there with some of those plastic masks if you didn't bring your own? Please take one of these. Please wear one. Please. Here, I'll buy you a beer because beers are cheap there.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hub Arkish is a guy that Mike, you've been familiar with for a long time. The guy that's been covering Chicago sports. He's an Associated Press writer, and he is one of the 50 voters for NFL MVP. He went on the radio a couple of days ago.
The Score, yeah.
He went on The Score and said that he was not going to be voting for Aaron Rodgers for MVP this year. Well, Aaron Rodgers having a great year. Why is he not? Is it because he's been covering the Bears and he's pissed off? He says, oh, I still own you? No. Hub Arkish has a different reason. Take a listen.
I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization and your fan base the way he did and be the most valuable player. Do I think he's going to win it? Probably. I just think that the way he's carried himself is inappropriate. And you know, the vaccine thing just was one more, you know, log on the fire, so to speak. I think he's a bad guy, you know, and I don't think a bad guy can be the most valuable guy at the same time.
All right, now he's couching his opinion a little bit here about Aaron Rodgers, but no, you can tell he really can't stand Aaron Rodgers. And the first thing I will say is that I disagree with him, which we're going to get to, but I respect his opinion for what goes into being an MVP. Like, this is not some guy that is an MLB Hall of Fame voter who says, well, I think Barry Bonds did steroids, so I'm not going to vote for him for a couple of years. Then I'll vote for him. No, either he's a Hall of Famer or he's not, right? Like, either you can't vote for him because of the steroids and PEDs, which I get, or, hey, he's a Hall of Famer regardless of that, which I get. This whole, oh, I'm going to use my vote politically, no, I don't get it. So while I think he's wrong, I respect Arkish for saying, listen, I'm looking at a guy that, and look, there's other players having great years as well. Tom Brady's having a great year. Jonathan Taylor Thomas is having a great year. A lot of home improvement going on in Indianapolis. And what is a big or deal breaker for him is how Aaron Rodgers has acted as a leader. And getting that, listen, I think he's a bad guy. How he's carried himself is inappropriate. I get it. I understand that. But here's the thing, and this is where the conversation about Aaron Rodgers goes in a completely new direction. And I'm going to surprise you with this a little bit.
Like the new directions on Glee. Good job. Let's
exactly. Go. It's okay to not like Aaron Rodgers and also respect his greatness. Right?
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers isn't out knocking over banks every night. Okay? Aaron Rodgers isn't out stealing cars every night. Aaron Rodgers isn't out at breaking into homes. Right? He's not committing crimes. Is he a bad influencer? Yes, he is. Is he a bad role model? Yes, he is. But he's not doing anything that's completely illegal. All right? Is he a drama king? Yeah. Is he also the best quarterback in the NFL? Yeah, he is. So you can still respect his talent and how good he is and dislike who he is as a person. It's different if he's out, boy, I'm voting for a guy that is, you know, he's not in, you know, he's not doing Antonio Brown type stuff where, boy, this guy's in trouble with the law and you're worried about him getting back in the game. This is Aaron Rodgers. Look, and I disagree, and I agree with a lot of things that Arkish says. He's a drama king. Like I said, he's a bad role model. He's a bad influencer. I wish he wouldn't be so vocal about lying about getting vaccinated. I wish he wouldn't have been so crazy about the drama that he so craves that he now has because he has our attention over the course of the past year. But I can separate that from the fact that guy's a great quarterback. They don't need to be mutually exclusive. Right, you can still not like Aaron Rodgers for who he is, and that's where he's a tough guy for me to root for. And when it comes down to it in a game in the playoffs, and I'm watching the Packers play the Rams or the Packers play the Bucks or the Packers play the Cowboys, is my rooting factor going to go, boy, I'd love to see Aaron Rodgers throw a pick here at the end and then the Packers lose? Yeah, I could see that happening as I'm watching the game unfold just because of Aaron Rodgers and what I think he's done as a leader and as a person who represents the NFL. But on the field, the guy's great. I'd have no problem voting for him for MVP. This doesn't need to be woke culture doesn't want Aaron Rodgers to be the MVP, and boy, it's going to kill you to vote for him for MVP. Because you don't. No, it doesn't need to be one or the other. It can be both. And that's the genius of being a personality like Aaron Rodgers. When you can inspire that much attention from people who like you, and people who hate you. Look at what LeBron James has been doing for 20 years now, right? LeBron James is he's the best basketball player I've seen. Him and Michael Jordan at the top of the list. What he has done so much good stuff. He's also done some incredibly knuckleheaded stuff. But that's LeBron James. That is people who can't stand him, even though they think he's a great player. Some people, I can't stand him. I don't think he's a great player, but they still watch him. You know, so LeBron James is has straddled that envelope now for the better part of two decades. And he's like, look, when he quits the NBA, when he retires and walks away, it's like, boy, we remember the amount of time we spent time talking about LeBron James for almost 20 years, that was a gift, you know, because everybody was so interested in what he had to say. I have no problem that people are interested in what Aaron Rodgers had to say. Personally, I'd like to see him have a different message. But, I could still say he's a great player on the field. And he's got his team in pole position to get to the Super Bowl. And it's not like he's upsetting his teammates and they go, we wish the guy was gone. It's not like he's doing things that's upsetting people in the community in Green Bay. No, he's a guy that you wish was a different kind of person off the field. Okay. You know, if he's not doing anything illegal, all right. I can still respect the player he is and still not like the person he is off it. Like I said, it doesn't need to be mutually exclusive.
No, and that's the larger point to all of this is just to remember, though, the humanity of it at all. I mean, folks keep grudges, right? We've heard the tales, and we'll talk with Jason Cole the next couple of weeks, referenced it before, about, you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the battles that go on. And in theory, it's supposed to be just what happened in between the white lines. Guy that's trying to argue his way back in the post-Antonio Brown world, Terrell Owens, saying, hey, I want in. It's only a couple of games. I'm still in great shape. He's 48. I'd love to see it. Be curious. But, right, for a couple of years, kept out. And questions of affecting a locker room, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, for Hub Arkish being in the market as he has been, Pro Football Weekly nationally, and certainly a lot of local content there in Chicago on the radio, newspapers, etc., that you're looking at a guy who's certainly swapped enough stories. So you know, maybe out of school, there's the more of the behind-the-scenes drama that led into this year. But on the field, the results are the results, right? And the beauty of having a vote for MVP or the Hall of Fame, until they strip you of it because you just do something really over the top, in the interim, you can do whatever the hell you want. And I guess this might be the thing that gets them to say, well, you can't just say you're not voting for him because he's a jerk.
I mean, like, why would you vote for him? He's a jerk and I don't like him. Oh, all right.
Right,
great.
But maybe that's enough that he gets it stripped away, right? Casey Hayward, among so many other players and people around the league, quote, we let guys like Hub Arkish vote for awards and all pros. Real flaw system, trash system of picking who votes. Well, yeah, there's always the, hey, should we reconstitute these groups based on experience, age, publication, size, all of those different the social media reach, whatever metrics you want to put in. But as of now, he's a voter. And if it's not, hey, you have to vote only based on what goes on the field. All right, he had a bad week one, and Jameis Winston was a superstar, and then he missed a game due to protocols. But otherwise, they're the number one seed. So as much havoc and problems as he may have caused, generated a lot of content. Let's call it what it is. Every week, showing up with McAfee, showing up on the Manning Cast, all over the place. You know, it's a lot of ink, a lot of words, a lot of open mouth say things that flow together out of this. Salute Dan McNeil, part of that Score team celebrating their 30 years on air, and one of the guys, and obviously had a bad end. But to the point of, the Score was me growing up listening to these guys yell about Bears Packers all the time. It got me towards a microphone all these years later. But it's just the idea that, he generated a lot of content. That's good. You can disagree with what he had to say. You can abhor what he had to say. But in between the white lines, who does it better? Right.
Yeah,
that's it. But so long as you have a vote and they don't say explicitly, and how do they, test it anyway? You vote for somebody, you say, OK, I'm voting for Jonathan Taylor then. Is it because, right, it's like Jerry Seinfeld returning the coat out of spite. Well, you said spite. It's like, well, then I just don't want it. Same thing here. You said you weren't voting for Rodgers because he was a jerk.
Well, look, but this is where likability comes into it, because like it or not, that's what breaks ties for people. Okay, now Hub Arkish went on to say this. Has he been the most valuable on the field as Aaron Rodgers? You could make that argument, but is he more valuable than Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp or maybe even Tom Brady? So from where I sit, the rest of it is why he's not going to be my choice. This is not Hub Arkish saying, I strictly am not voting for him based on this. I don't care if he's got 80 touchdowns, I'm not voting for him. What he's saying is that, okay, it's Rodgers, it's Brady, it's Taylor, it's Kupp. These are all guys that are well-deserving of it. Now, it's going to come down to Brady and Rodgers because you're talking about quarterbacks, and you're going to get that over being a wide receiver or a running back. When it comes down to it, right, if it's Brady or Rodgers, how are you going to break the tie? People do it different ways. And what Arkish is doing is what other people are going to do. And this is why Brady's going to wind up winning MVP, I'll tell you right now. Because in the last year, Brady has become more likable than he ever has in his career. Because most of his time in New England, it's Spygate, it's a lot of short press conferences. We didn't get to see a lot of his personality, likely because of the being under the thumb of Bill Belichick. But now that he's gone to Tampa Bay, he's all over the place saying things and giving his opinion, and he's out and he's having fun on social media. He's become more likable, while Aaron Rodgers has become less likable. There's people who will still like him. Whether you're a vaxxer, anti-vaxxer, doesn't matter. There's still going to be people that love Aaron Rodgers, but there's more that dislike him for his behavior over the course of the past year, whether it was vaccinations or whether it's been his will I stay or won't I stay dance and everything he's putting the Packers through. He has become more unlikable. So how do you break the tie? Hub Arkish is breaking the tie by saying, I don't think he's a good leader, so I'm going with another guy. And that's how many people are going to break the tie between Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Well, I like what Brady does better than what I like Aaron Rodgers does. And whether that is something that is at the forefront of their mind or it's in their subconscious, I'm voting for Brady for that reason. Brady's going to get those votes. So the likability factor is a really big deal. It's what's going to push the MVP to Brady and away from Aaron Rodgers.
Well, but now you've got the late entry of the Antonio Brown situation. Everybody's saying, it's Tom Brady's fault. Yeah.
Yes, it's completely Tom Brady's fault.
Yeah,
yes.
No.
Completely Tom Brady's fault.
It's not adults doing jackassery on their own. Nope, it was Tom Brady's fault. Because he had the Buccaneers, after they won a Super Bowl with him, bring him back and made him a big part of the offense. Yes, all Tom Brady's fault. Just some really bad logic and explanations. I like hot take nonsense, and I vowed 2022 I'd do more of just throwing stuff against the wall, because seemingly that's what folks like. Getting an argument with a player or a team, but some of this is just stupidity. But to the Aaron Rodgers point of likability, he also won last year. And what do we almost never do? Give a guy an award the next year the same way, right? Heismans, MVPs, any of these things. It's the, nope, won it last year. Who else looks pretty good this year that we can go with? And where's there another narrative that we can build? And sure, there's some folks and probably a couple others like Arkish that'll be punitive and just say, he's not getting my vote because I don't like him. He's a jerk. You know, the jerk store award of the year goes to.
Oh, that's Fabiano. That's Fabiano. Easily the jerk store award goes to Fabiano. It always does. It always does. Someone else.
Hey, I finished second in that guillotine league, by the way.
I know. Congratulations, buddy. That was awesome. I really thought you were going to come back and win on
Sunday. Late. Well, I needed another 70 from Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough.
Him only giving me 55 really let me down.
Yeah, thanks for nothing, Ja'Marr Chase, in that final week. You couldn't
actually
catch seven or eight more passes?
You know what? The 1.3 he gave me a couple of weeks ago, that did contribute because it was a three-week playoff.
Oh.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.